House Labor and Commerce will now come to order. It's 4:30. We apologize about the late start. We got pushed back by floor session and the previous committee. We'll see how far we can get between now and 5 o'clock. We do have another meeting coming up at 6, and so several of us are going to break for for dinner before we come back in. With us today, we have Representative Reinbold, Representative Sadler, Representative Josephson, myself, Chair Olson. We do expect Speaker Chenault will be coming along shortly. We have a quorum. I request that you turn off your cell phones. We have four bills on the calendar today. Previously heard, we have the first bill, House Bill 328, board licensing of massage therapist. And with us, we have Representative Betty Nyagic and Mary. What's your last name, Mary?
Schlosser. Chairman.
And we have been joined by Speaker Chenault. Kind of. Could you please give us a real short summary of the bill?
Thank you. And good afternoon, Chairman Olson. For the record, I'm Representative Benny Nareuk. I'm here to ask for your support to move out House Bill 328. The massage therapist brought this bill to me, and I have asked for a few changes before you in Amendment 1.
Yeah, that might add for the people that haven't been in the room that we've heard this bill on March 10th and again on March 28th. And during the meeting on March 28th, we adopted Amendment N2 and closed out public testimony, held the bill over until today to give members a chance to review another amendment, which was N.1. And Mary, I think, is going to give us a real brief summary on Amendment number 1. Or Benny.
Yes. So, with your permission, I'd like to introduce Mary. Schlosser to speak to the amendment and help answer questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Could I entertain a motion to adopt Amendment N.1 for purposes of discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I move Amendment N.1.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion. And Mary, you're up.
Thank you, Representative Nyagic, Chairman Olson, and committee members. For the record, I am Mary Abagasuk Schlosser, staff to Representative Nyagic. Before you today is Amendment N1, minor changes. Just allow a few minutes to explain these changes. Thank you. So these changes add language to the requirements for education, adding or has completed an approved apprenticeship program in addition to the 500, or in exchange for the 500 hours. We're recommending they change board to department on page 4, line 18, and then again on page 3, line 24, so that the department processes applications rather than the board. Page 8, lines 1 through 8, combine exemptions 11 and 12 to define a category of exempted practices and not naming each modality. And also, in the transition language on page 11, line 1, we're taking out section 3, so it'll read 1, 2, 4 through 6, and 9. The intent, letting the 500 hours of education be waived for the transition, for those so folks can be grandfathered in. Also, the amendment includes
The conceptual amendment. We'll be getting into that shortly. Are there any questions for Mary on N.1? Seeing none, I'll remove my objection. And we also before the committee, I believe, is Laura, could you move conceptual amendment number 1 to amendment number N.1?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, I move conceptual amendment number 1 to N.1, page 1, line 15 through 20, delete all material.
Mary?
That just gets rid of the repeat from the amendment N2 that was already adopted. Thank you.
Any questions for Mary on amendment 1 to conceptual amendment 1 to N.1?
Just copy it down.
I have no questions.
Any further questions? I will remove my objection to conceptual amendment number one to amendment number N1. With that, we'll bring the whole bill back to the committee for discussion. The whole bill? As amended. Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad to see that you've taken your time and massaged this bill into a piece of legislation. Mr. Chairman.
Any further comments? Remember, we're on the record. Seeing none, I entertain a motion.
Chair Olson, I move committee substitute House Bill 328 version N as amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Seeing none, the bill moves out of committee finally, and with that, we will take a brief at ease and it will. We're back on the record. Next item on the calendar today is House Bill 308, Alaska Security Act Exemptions. With us today are the sponsor of the bill, Representative Lindsey Holmes, former member of this committee, and her staff, Robert Irvine. You going to come up, Robert? Are you going to? Nope. Let the boss do it.
He's going to hang out back there. Mr. Chairman, it's
welcome
always,
back.
Thank you. It's always fun to be back here in Labor and Commerce. For the record, Lindsey Holmes, representing House District 19. I'm bringing to you today House Bill 308. Thank you for hearing it today. It is an act relating to exemptions under the Alaska Securities Act, which is really, really exciting, fun stuff. What this is an attempt to do is to help some of our generally smaller businesses get started. When businesses are going out for investment and they want to bring in small numbers of in-state Alaska investors, right now they have to do a variety of things when they want to bring in investors and issue stock. We are not talking about stock that's covered under the Federal Securities Exchange. We're talking about in-state only to small numbers of investors. And at the moment, the Division of Banking and Securities is, among other things, collecting registration forms, which I believe have been passed out to you. They're not terribly complicated forms, Mr. Chairman, but the point is that the Division of Banking and Securities collects these forms about the companies before they issue stock to small numbers of investors, we're talking 25 or fewer, or to people who have already invested and they're investing again. The companies have to pay a $50 filing fee. They have to pay a $125 filing fee if they want to expedite it. And the main point is that the Division of Banking and Securities doesn't do anything with this information. So it's basically a fee that these companies are paying and one more piece of paper or several pieces of paper that the division is having to go through when they're really not doing anything with it. What this does is it leaves in place the requirement for the companies to provide to their investors a bunch of information so that they're not going into this blind. It leaves in place all of the consumer protection language so that the division can go after bad actors. It leaves in place all of the provisions that allow investors to go back to get their money back or to sue for damages if they're investing under some sort of fraudulent or untrue considerations. So that's the first thing it does. It does two other pretty easy things. One is in certain cases it gives the department in a separate case when people are offering to repay for stock that's been issued, it gives the department a slightly longer time to review these. Right now they have to turn these things around in 2 days. They've asked for us to extend that timeline to 10 days. And the final thing that does has to do with ANCSA corporations, with our regional corporation, our native corporations. The General Accounting Office kind of flagged in an audit at one point that our state statutes say that when regional corporations, native corporations, issued original stock, they did not have to be filed with the state. However, it was silent on whether or not later issuances of stock. We're now getting to the point of people who were born after 1971, later generations of people who are getting stock. Our statutes are silent on that, and this simply says that no, later issuance of stocks are also exempt from the same from securities registration under the state the same way the original ones were. That is what the bill does, Mr. Chairman. I have Kevin Anselm from the Division of Banking and Securities, who has an extremely short PowerPoint that should help answer any questions.
Any questions for the sponsor before we begin the PowerPoint? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Holmes, I understand that at the bottom of your sponsor statement, you indicate you have tempted the gods by calling this a simple piece of legislation.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Sadler, that I hate to blame staff, but I think that slipped by without my notice. I saw that and was a little bit afraid. I was hoping nobody had noticed that.
Sorry.
Yeah, there will be two demerits for that.
Duly noted, Mr. Chairman, and deserved.
Any further questions? We're getting off light.
I don't think you're letting me leave the room, Mr. Chairman, but with that, I would love it if Kevin could come up and answer any other questions.
Come on up. Please state your name and affiliation for the record, and thank you for joining us today. And again, I apologize for the lateness.
Thank you. Not a problem. I understand how this works. For the record, my name is Kevin Anselm. I'm the director of the Division of Banking and Securities with the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. And I'm here to talk a little bit about the changes that House Bill 308 offers. There are three substantive changes in House Bill 308. There are a number of language changes that do not alter the provisions, so please don't be concerned. I won't go through the language changes. There are three primary changes. It eliminates the fee and filing requirements for certain small or limited offering exemptions, those with 10 or fewer investors, those with 25 or fewer investors under certain conditions, and existing security holders. It does increase the division's time to review an offer to repay or a rescission offer from 2 days to 10 days. Those are much more complicated than a regular securities registration. Because usually those are being, there's an offer to repay because there's been a problem, and we're helping sort that out. And then finally, as Representative Holmes mentioned, it clarifies that securities issued by the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act corporations in compliance with applicable federal law don't need to be separately licensed or registered, excuse me, under state law. So just quickly, and I've noted the page number and line number that the small offering exemptions are under. There's a limited number of investors. These are often referred to as friends and family exemptions. The typical transactions occur because someone has an idea for a business or buys a business and invites friends or family to invest in that business. Usually there are no salespersons. There's no sales commissions involved in these kinds of transactions. And they're usually driven by the entrepreneur, usually talking with friends and family, and so there's no public solicitation or advertising. So the risk to the public is generally small. Most states have these types of exemptions, and these are typically self-executing exemptions in other states, which means no fees, no filing, but all of the requirements are there. The consumer protection pieces are there, as well as the enforcement protection pieces from the division. The next change is a limited offering exemption, and this is for securities that are offered to existing shareholders. This exemption might be used by an existing business that's moving to the next level. The division seldom receives filings now for this exemption, as in we received one in 2013, five in 2012. And those ones that are filed are generally not necessary because there's no commission paid. And that's the only time that an exemption needs to be filed under the current law. So in summary, and very quickly, House Bill 308 eliminates the $50 filing fee, or $125. It eliminates form preparation, and that will basically affect 136 filings per year average. There will be a decrease in the amount of revenue that the department brings in of about $6,800. As I mentioned, it does retain investor protections and the division's oversight and investor ability to seek rescission or monetary damages. Anyone using an exemption has the burden of proving that exemption, whether it's to the division or whether it's in a court of law. So whoever wants to use the exemption has to prove that it was available to them in the first place. We talked a little bit about rescission offers already, and then finally clarifies that the ANCSA securities issued later, in other words, after the initial issuance back in around 1972, do not need to be registered with the state so long as they are in compliance with federal law. So in summary, that is House Bill 308. May I answer any questions?
Representative Joseph?
None yet.
None yet. Better be quick. Representative Schmidt.
Mr. Chairman, just for information purposes, what did the $50 that they had to pay actually buy them?
The review of the form.
Okay. And how do we have an average time length on how long that took?
It depended on the filing. Truth of the matter is sometimes these filings take a long time because people have questions about them and what they need to include. And so our staff does spend time with an applicant.
And Mr. Chairman, Paul? I guess my follow-up would be how much time got chopped off of it by paying $125?
We tried to move as quickly as we can, but with the expedited review, we were under the requirement to review it within 2 days.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Josephson, got that question there?
Well, yeah, I suppose. Ms. Anselm, through the chair, I guess the only thing I'm curious about is whether there's a dispute among those who are starting the business, those who believe they've been issued stock, that the completion of this form might somehow act to corroborate some point of view or another. In other words, is there anything that would be legally relevant in a dispute about that could help resolve it?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, I think the only thing that might help is whether or not they actually filed for the exemption, which is currently required under the law. So they have to make a filing right now. And so, of course, having that piece of paper filed with the state would resolve that question.
Okay.
Paula? No questions? Is there anybody in the room that would care to testify on this bill? Or am I going to open up public testimony? Seeing none, is there anybody online? Seeing none, close public testimony. Bring it back to the committee. Committee discussion. Representative Schnault? Nope. Thank you again. Representative Rainbold.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 308 from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Seeing no opposition, the bill moves out of committee. And we'll take a brief at ease. Oh, we're back on record. And for the people in the room or outside in the LIOs, we have two bills that are left. We have about 7 minutes, and it's my intent to have both of the bills read across, a brief summary on them, and then we will be able to bring the bills back on much shorter notice, as bills previously heard, at a later date with at least 48 hours notice that we will be hearing the bills. And then when we do hit 24 hours, it'll be 24 hours notice if we still have the bills at that point in time. But with that, we've got House Bill 372, Extend Emergency Energy Technology Fund, and I might add the companion bill to House Bill 372 came across from the Senate today and is in our committee as well. But thank you for joining us, Representative Isaacson, and please state your name and affiliation, and could you give us a brief summary of the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Doug Isaacson, representative from District 1, Isleson North Pole, and with me is Catherine Eldemar, my lead staff person on energy. And because the companion piece to this bill, HB 372, has been read across, I'll just mention that this short little one-page, almost a one-sentence bill packs a powerful punch by extending the termination date for this important emerging energy technology fund from January 2015 to January 2020. With that, I'll, for brevity's sake, just thank you for the ability to have this read across and look forward to your committee calling it back or its Senate companion for ratification.
And I thank you again for joining us. Any quick questions for Representative Isaacson? Seeing none, we will set this bill aside and take a break at ease. We're back on the record again. The last item on the calendar today is House Bill 149, Workers' Comp for State Firefighters. And presenting the bill is Representative Gabrielle Ledoux, a long-term member of the House who got sworn in on the same day I did and also shares my birthday, our birthday. Welcome back, Representative Ledoux.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Thank you for hearing or at least reading over House Bill 149 today. House Bill 49 corrects an oversight in AS 2330-121, which was a bill that we passed a number of years ago, which gave firefighters presumptive coverage for various illnesses that they may have contracted while working as firefighters. And what that bill left out, AS 2330-121, is that it accidentally did not cover state-employed firefighters. So HB 149 is a fix-it bill that would simply amend AS 2330-121, adding to line 4 to read, a firefighter employed by the state. It covers just about 70 people, and I believe that these brave men and women should have the same protection as all other firefighters. Thank you.
And thank you, and I'd like to apologize for, before we get into questions, to anybody that's called in online and found out that our meeting had been pushed back. And again, we will have 48 hours notice on this, but Representative Ledoux, will you take some questions right now?
Sure.
Representative Josephson.
Thank you.
Followed by Representative Sadler.
Representative Ledoux, your former colleague and a friend of mine, Representative Croft, took a case involving chemical exposure where the firefighter died. He was successful in his case. Was that a state firefighter? Do you know which case I'm speaking of?
I don't know which case you're speaking of.
All right.
But basically, the state firefighters are just the ones, as I understand it, the airport guys.
All right, thank you.
Representative
Sandler. Thank you, Mr. Chair. You said, Representative Ledoux, that this only adds, explains that the firefighter is not is part of the state. It had been missing. But there's three other definitions of firefighters on page one here, municipal, volunteer, and someone who's a volunteer for purposes of workers' comp. I just have to reconcile those things. That,
I can do that. Trustee David Harmony.
I'm glad to see volunteer fire department members are included in the definition, but just was wondering if
those,
that had happened.
Those other three, the Muni Fire, okay. The Muni firefighters and the others that you see in those, that definition, are already in the statute already. And so the statute has been, it's been redrafted a little bit, but really all it does is add that fourth group of people. Mm-hmm. And I thought that I had the actual statute that I was.
That's
no, it's not.
It isn't what subsection A is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Are we looking at draft A of this bill?
Yeah. So, and after Chenault, if you want to speak again.
So AS 09 65265. I'm really sorry. I thought that we could follow up with you. We can send around the actual bill as it now stands. But really, all it does is add is the state firefighters.
Okay.
Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I was looking back through the fiscal notes, and I see there's fiscal notes from DOT Public Safety, which would be international airports. I would assume it would be any airport. Ones from the Anchorage Airport. And the other one that kind of caught my attention was UAF. And there was a couple of fiscal notes here from University of Alaska Fairbanks, which says Fairbanks, well, that's DOT. Get back to the one I'm looking at. Also, I see one fiscal note here from the University of Alaska that talks about 36 reported claims by UAF firefighters over the last 5 years, or 7.2 claims. Mr. Chairman, I'd be curious as, where are these firefighters at? Are they at the University of Alaska? So if they are, it's a little bit more than just DOT.
And Chairman, on that point, we're waiting for a fiscal note from the state risk manager as well.
So I stand corrected. It's the airport and the university.
And Mr. Chairman, I think we all want to make sure that state employees are protected, so it's not just trying to single anyone out. So I just wanted to make that clear.
No, I was here for the enabling legislation, and I don't think that was the intent of the original enabling legislation. But with that, we will hold this bill over, and we will adjourn at 2 minutes after 5:00.